Welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. I'm your host, Calvin Powers. This week on DeveloperWorks, we look at extending an existing web application into a mobile device using IBM's Watson as a use case. But first, let's look at the other news this week on DeveloperWorks.
Advanced persistent threats, the evolution of IT infrastructures, and compliance complacency can stymie security vulnerability monitoring. IBM Security QRadar Vulnerability Manager is a new product from IBM that is helping to redefine how IT security teams collect and use vulnerability assessment data. This member of the QRadar product family helps identify an organization's largest exposures and build a smarter remediation and mitigation action plan. By correlating scan results with the security intelligence data of QRadar SIEM, you can quickly prioritize the vulnerabilities that present the greatest potential dangers and avoid false positives or those already classified as non-threatening. DeveloperWorks has published an architectural view of QRadar Vulnerability Manager to introduce the capabilities of this new product to IT security practitioners. Mario E. De Armas and Joel Gaussi have published updates to their three-part series called Enforcing Service Level Agreements Using WebSphere Data Power. It shows how common policies are governed, enforced, and monitored using IBM WebSphere Data Power XI50 SOA appliance, WebSphere Service Registry and Repository, and IBM Tivoli Composite Application Manager for SOA. This series is a must-read for organizations that have service-level agreement commitments with their internal and external customers. Rajath Ramesh and Manjanatha D have published a three-part series on using JSON in WebSphere Cast Iron. Part 1 of this article series shows how to configure JSON handling activities to invoke JSON-based REST APIs and to create your own JSON-based REST APIs. Part 2 shows how to build an orchestration that invokes JSON-based REST APIs exposed by Salesforce.com to create an account. Part 3 shows how to design an orchestration that is exposed as a JSON-based API. This series will show you everything you need to know to get started using JSON activities in your cast iron orchestrations. Apache ZooKeeper is a high-performance coordination server for distributed applications. It exposes common services such as naming and configuration management, synchronization, and group services in a simple interface, relieving the user from the need to program from scratch. It comes with off-the-shelf support for implementing consensus, group management, leader election, and presence protocols. Mark Grover from Cloudera has published ZooKeeper Fundamentals, Deployment, and Applications to show how to set up and deploy a ZooKeeper cluster in a simulated miniature distributed environment. You can use this step-by-step article to plan your ZooKeeper environment.
Don't forget that you can get links to all of those articles at ibm.com/developerworks/this week. My guest this week on DeveloperWorks is Tan No. He is a cloud architect at IBM's Silicon Valley Lab, and he's just published an article on DeveloperWorks documenting his approach to developing a mobile app that interfaces with IBM's Watson. Tan, welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. First, set the stage for us. Tell us a little bit about the IBM Watson application that you extended and the goals of your development project.
Thank you, Kevin. As you would know, healthcare is very important for all of us, and in particular, the area of cancer research and cancer treatment is very difficult it's a major problem for us. This is where the doctor face a huge amount of face many challenge in finding a treatment for a patient, not just finding the right treatment, but more importantly, dealing with a huge amount of data and information that's available to them. And this is where we can apply technology to help doctor to handle that amount of information. Watson happened to be the solution from IBM that is well designed for that kind of problem and challenge. So this is where we take the technology from Watson and bring it to bear to help the oncologist in finding a treatment for the patient. Right. One of the most difficult problem that the doctor face is the consuming the amount of information that's available to them. The reason it's difficult is that most of this information exists as what they call unstructured data, meaning that they're not well formed so that you can use a program to search through them. Rather, they exist as hand note or medical journal, lab report here and there. So many different formats. And this is where Watson really excels. It's designed to be able to consume and absorb all those unstructured data and be able to go through them and analyze and extract the information that's relevant and important to the user. Right? And so this is where we, IBM, the research team from IBM, work with the different hospital that are doing research in cancer, and trying to find way for Watson to help the doctor in become more effective in finding treatment for their patient.
Tan, walk us through some of the components of the application architecture you developed.
Sure. If you look at the figure number one in the developer work article, this lay out the whole system that is running at a hospital, and it's a fairly complicated picture, so I'll walk through. Basically, the color scheme there is that the blue represents IBM solution, and the orange part represents the customer infrastructure, the existing part that we integrate with. Right? So starting from the bottom, we on the rows right side, that is the Watson subsystem, and so Watson is actually a very large system, both in terms of hardware and the number of software components. But for our purpose here, I just draw it as a black box. But, understand that it's a very big system. And then we have the database that hold the corpus of data that Watson used to analyze and then present to the doctor. And then on the left side, the orange part, those are the components that you would typically find at a hospital. You have the some kind of database that holds all the treatment data, from the all the research they're doing. You have the EMR, the electrical medical record for all the patients, and you have the directory service. In this case, it's Active Directory for Microsoft, but it could be other kind of directory service as well. And then going on to the middle layer, there you have the WebSphere application server. And that basically hold the host the web based the browser based application for the user, right? And you also you have REST service that represent the API to allow program to access all the system in the background. And then advancing to the top there, you have a workplace server, and that basically present is a gateway for the mobile device to come in. And you have a database there, and you also what we use is a Java content repository, and that's an open source software. So we use that to hold artifact object like a picture or audio file from the mobile device. And way on the top, you have two ways to access the system. You have on the right side the browser, the kind of something that you have on your desktop. And then you have the mobile device, in this case is a tablet, iPad, or Android tablet, that allow the user to get to the system. So this is a complicated picture, but if you step back a little bit, it's actually very typical of a web application, and you have the web layer, and then you have the back end, the infrastructure of an enterprise. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a fairly typical kind of a topology in that architecture.
Thanks, Tan. I think that's a great illustration of the application architecture Now, I know that a lot of developers have a difficult time making their mobile apps as responsive as a desktop or a web browser app. And I was wondering if you could tell us what you did in this project to help the apps be more responsive.
Thanks, Kevin. So that's actually a very interesting problem when you do, you develop mobile app. One thing we do find is that the user on mobile device interact with the app quite differently from a user on a desktop. On desktop, you typically you have a large screen and you tend to be more patient with your app. But when you're mobile, you're out there doing things and you want specific things you want to do on your mobile device. So you want to be able to do those things quickly and you don't have a lot of patience. So we found that the things that work well on a desktop doesn't work well on a mobile device. So this is where we have to pay particular attention to how the mobile app responds to the user. And we found that if we just code the mobile app in the as a web app, then we run into many problems like the app will not respond well, it's slow, it's laggy. So we have to adopt a couple of techniques to make it respond better. And in the paper, we outlined two techniques that we found to work quite well. One is what's called the single-page architecture. And so basically the idea is that when you tap on something, instead of going back to the system in the back end and retrieve some new page or some new data all the time, which would introduce a delay in the response, we only present a single page to the user and in the way we code the page, and the page will actually render itself using code in JavaScript and will change as the user interact with it. So basically what we're doing is we trade off the computation done on the device with the kind of fetching data back and forth from user from the backend system. And this is not a new concept. This is has been done also in browser-based application. We just found that for mobile application, this worked very well. Second thing that we did was that for the kind of interaction that require kind of a native view, this is where we want to allow the user to pinch and swipe and interact with the app. This is where we want to be able to kind of dive into the native layer on the mobile device. And the way we did this is by developing a widget. We use Dojo Mobile. So we develop a new widget in Dojo that would do what we want to do, present the data to the user in a way and that allow the user to pinch, swipe, and things like that. So with that, it does require a little bit of dropping down to the native layer to be able to detect the hand gesture and so on and respond to that. And with that, we found that once we packaged that code in Dojo Mobile, it fit perfectly well with the rest of the code in HTML5.
Thanks, Tom. That's very interesting. Now, tell us a little bit about how IBM WorkLite fits into your development picture.
So in this project, we use WorkLite throughout, from the beginning to the end. And basically, we develop the project in Eclipse as a WorkLite project, then we just build out from there. So what we found is that the WorkLite gives you a very nice kind of a hybrid, what they call hybrid application, where you use HTML5 to do most of your presentation, and that worked very well. It fit perfectly well with the browser-based version of the app, and very easy to develop. We can bring up the most of the app in just a few days, and then when we need to get down to the native layer, we can use, we have support for Cordova, which give you very nice support for things like audio, camera, things like that. And then when we need to, like as I mentioned with the Dojo widget, we can go all the way down to the native layer. So you have this perfect kind of a framework that lets you develop from end to end and let you work best at where where it makes sense for you, whether at the high level, middle layer level, or low level.
Thanks, Tan. I'm sure your article is going to be a great blueprint for other developers who want to design and develop high-performing mobile applications. Don't forget, you can get a link to Tan's article and everything else you heard on this episode at ibm.com/developerworks/this week. That's all the time we have for this episode. We'll see you next week on DeveloperWorks.